Njal's Saga, Penguin Edition, Part 1. There was a man named Mord, whose name was Gigia. He was the son of Sigfat the Red, and he lived at Val in the Rangerveller district. He was a powerful chieftain, and strong in pressing lawsuits. He was so learned in law that no verdicts were considered valid unless he had been involved. He had an only daughter named Un. She was beautiful, well-mannered, and gifted, and was thought to be the best match in the Rangerveller. Now the saga shifts west to the valleys of Breidafjord. A man named Haskold lived there, the son of Dalakol. His mother was Thorgerd, the daughter of Thorstein the Red, who was the son of Olaf the White, the son of Ingjald, the son of Helgi. Ingjald's mother was Thora, the daughter of Sigurd Snake in the Eye, who was the son of Ragnar Shaggy Breeches. Thorstein the Red's mother was Un the Deep-Minded. She was the daughter of Kettle Flatnose, the son of Bjorn Buna. Haskold lived at Haskoldstadir in the valley of Luxardal. Hrut was Haskold's brother. He lived at Hrutstadir. He had the same mother as Haskold, but his father was Herjulf. Hrut was a good-looking man, big and strong, a good fighter, and even-tempered, a very wise man, harsh toward his enemies, but ready with good advice on important matters. It happened once that Haskold held a feast for his friends, and his brother Hrut was there and sat next to him. Haskold had a daughter named Hallgerd. She was playing on the floor with some other girls. She was tall and beautiful, with hair as fine as silk, and so abundant that it came down to her waist. Haskold called to her, "Come here to me." She went to him at once, and he took her by the chin and kissed her. Then she went back. Haskold said to Hrut, "How do you like this girl? Don't you find her beautiful?" Hrut was silent. Haskold asked again. Hrut then answered, "The girl is quite beautiful, and many will pay for that, but what I don't know is how the eyes of a thief have come into our family." Haskold was angry at this, and for a time the brothers had little to do with each other. Hallgerd's brothers were Thorleik, the father of Bali, Olaf, the father of Kjartan, and Bard. Part 2. It happened once that these brothers, Haskold and Hrut, rode together to the Althing. A great many people were there. Haskold said to Hrut, "I wish, brother, that you would improve your way of living and take a wife." Hrut said, "I've thought long about that and been of two minds, but I'll do as you wish. Where should we look?" Haskold said, "There are many chieftains here at the Thing, and a good selection of brides, but I have one in mind for you. There is a woman named Un, the daughter of Mordgigja, a very wise man. He's here at the Althing, and his daughter too, and you can see her now, if you wish." The next day, when men were going to the law council, the brothers saw some well-dressed women outside the Rangerveller booth. Haskold said to Hrut, "There's Un, the woman I told you about. How do you like her?" "Well enough," he said, "but I don't know whether we're meant to be happy together." They continued on to the law council. Mordgigja was explaining legal matters as usual, and then went to his booth. Haskold and Hrut rose and went to Mord's booth and entered it. Mord was seated at the far end. They greeted him. He rose to receive them and gave Haskold his hand. Haskold sat down next to him, and Hrut sat down beside Haskold. They discussed many things, and Haskold came around to saying, "I want to propose an agreement between us. Hrut wants to make a marriage agreement for your daughter and to become your son-in-law, and I will not withhold my support." Mord answered, "I know that you are a great chieftain, but I know nothing about your brother." Haskold said, "He's a better man than I am." Mord said, "You will have to come up with a large sum for him, since she will inherit everything I have." "You won't have to wait long for what I propose," said Haskold. "He shall have Kamsnes and Hrutstadir and everything as far as Thorandergrill. He also owns a trading ship, now at sea." Hrut then said to Mord, "Keep in mind that it is out of affection that my brother makes so much of me, but if you're willing to consider this matter, I would like you to name the terms." Mord answered, "I've already thought it over. She will get 60 hundreds, to which you must add half, and if you have heirs, you are to share the property equally." Hrut said, "I agree to these terms. Let's find witnesses." They rose and shook hands, and Mord betrothed his daughter Un to Hrut. The wedding was set for 2 weeks after midsummer at Mord's farm. Both parties then rode home from the Thing. Haskold and Hrut rode west by way of Halbjarnarvordr, Halbjorn's cairns, Thorstaff, the son of Bjorn Goldbearer from Reykjadal, rode out to meet them and told them that Hrut's ship had come to the Fida River, and on it was Ozr, Hrut's father's brother, and he wanted Hrut to come to him as soon as possible. When Hrut heard this, he asked Haskell to go with him to the ship. Haskell did, and they both went, and when they came to the ship, Hrut gave his uncle a warm and cheerful welcome, and Ozr offered them a drink in his booth. The gear was taken from their horses, and they went in and drank. Hrut said to Ozr, "Come west now, uncle, and spend the winter with me." "That is not to be," he said, "for I have to tell you of the death of your brother Eivind. He willed his property to you at the Gula Thing, and your enemies will seize it if you don't come." "What am I to do now, brother?" said Hrut. "Things are becoming difficult, for I have just made arrangements for my wedding." Haskell said, "Ride south and visit Mord, and ask him to change the terms so that his daughter is pledged to you for 3 years. I will ride home and bring your wares to the ship." Hrut said, "I want you to first take flour and timber and whatever else you want from this cargo." He gathered his horses and rode south, and Haskell rode west to his home. Hrut went east to the Rangarvellir, to Mord, and had a good welcome there. He told Mord what had happened and asked for advice. Mord said, "How much wealth is at stake?" Hrut said it was 200 marks if he got it all. Mord said, "That is a great deal compared to what I will leave her. You must certainly go if that's what you wish." Then they changed the terms of their agreement, and Un was to stay pledged to him for 3 years. Hrut rode to his ship and stayed with it during the summer until it was ready to sail. Haskold brought all of Hrut's wares to the ship. Hrut turned over to Haskold the care of his property in Iceland while he was abroad, and Haskold rode back to his farm. Shortly after, a good wind came up, and they sailed away. They were at sea for 3 weeks, and they arrived at the Hurn Islands, and from there they sailed east to Vik, Oslo Fjord. Njal's Saga, Part 3. Harald Greycloak was then ruling over Norway. He was the son of Erik Bloodaxe, the son of Harald Fairhair. His mother was Gunhild, the daughter of Ozr Todi. Harald and his mother had their seats at Konungahilla in the east. A report came to Vik of the arrival of a ship from the west. As soon as Gunhild heard it, she asked what Icelanders were on board. She was told that one of them was Hrut, the nephew of Ozr. She said, "I see it plainly. He's come to claim his inheritance, but a man named Sodi has taken it into his keeping." Then she called for her servant, whose name was Agmund. "I'm sending you to Vik to meet Ozr and Hrut. Tell them I invite them both to spend the winter with me and that I want to be their friend. If Hrut listens to my advice, I will look after his property claim, as well as anything else he may undertake. I'll also put in a good word for him with the king." He then went and found, and when they learned that he was Gunhild's servant, they welcomed him. He gave them the message in private. Then the two of them discussed between themselves what to do, and Ozr said to Hrut, "It's clear to me, kinsman, that we have already taken our decision, for I know Gunhild. If we don't go to her, she will drive us from the land and grab our possessions. But if we go to her, she will show us the honor she has promised." Agmund returned, and when he came to Gunhild, he gave his report and said that they would come. Gunhild said, "I expected that, since Hrut is called a clever and capable man. Now watch for when they get here and let me know." Hrut and Ozr traveled east to Konungahilla, and when they arrived, their kinsmen and friends came out and welcomed them warmly. They asked whether the king was in town, and were told that he was. Soon after that, they met Agmund. He gave them Gunhild's greetings and added that for fear of gossip, she would not invite them to come to her until they had met the king. "It mustn't seem that I'm lavishing favors on them," she had said, "and yet I will help him as I see fit. Hrut is to speak boldly to the king and ask to be one of his followers." "And here are some noble robes," Agmund went on, "which she has sent for you to wear when you come before the king." Then he returned. The next day Hrut said, "Let's go to the king." "Very well," said Ozr. They went 12 together, all kinsmen and friends, and entered the hall while the king was at drink. Hrut went ahead of the others and greeted the king. The king took a close look at this man, who was well-dressed, and asked his name. Hrut gave it. "Are you an Icelander?" the king said. He said he was. "What prompted you to come to us?" "The wish to see your magnificence, my lord, and also because I have a large inheritance case in this realm, and I will need your help if I'm to have my just share." The king said, All men in this land have my promise of lawful procedure. Do you have any other purpose in visiting us? My lord, said Frit, I beg to be taken into your bodyguard as one of your followers. The king made no answer. Gunhild spoke. It seems to me that this man is offering you a great honor, for if there were many like him in your bodyguard, it would be very well manned. So it seems to me. Is he a clever man? Said the king. Both clever and ambitious, she said. It seems that my mother wants you to have the position you are asking for, but out of respect for our royal dignity and the customs of this land, you must come again after half a month. Then you shall become my follower. In the meantime, let my mother look after your needs, and then come back to me. Gunhild spoke to Ogmund. Take them to my house and give them a good feast. Ogmund went out and led them to a hall built of stone. It was hung with beautiful tapestries, and there Gunhild had her throne. Ogmund spoke. Now you'll see that what I told you about Gunhild is true. That's her throne. Sit in it, and you'll be allowed to hold it, even after she arrives. He then treated them to a feast. They had only been seated a short time before Gunhild arrived. Frit was all ready to jump up and greet her. Remain seated, she said. You shall always have this seat, as long as you are my guest. She sat down beside him, and they drank together. That evening, she said, You shall lie with me tonight in the upper room, just the two of us. That's for you to decide, he said. Then they went to bed. She bolted the door, and they slept there that night. In the morning, they went down to drink together, and for a full 2 weeks they slept in the upper room, just the two of them. Gunhild spoke to the men she had there. You have nothing to lose but your lives if you tell anyone about me and Hrut. Hrut gave her 100 ells of woven cloth and 12 homespun cloaks, and she thanked him for the gift. Hrut left after he had kissed her and thanked her. She wished him well. The next day he went before the king with 30 men and greeted him. The king spoke, Now, Hrut, you will be wanting me to keep my promise to you. Hrut was then made his follower. Hrut said, Where shall I sit? My mother shall decide, said the king. She gave him a prominent seat, and he stayed with the king over the winter, well respected. End of part 3. Njal's Saga, part 4. In the spring, Hrut heard a report about Sodi that he had gone south to Denmark with the inheritance. Hrut went to Gunhild and told her of Sodi's movements. She spoke, I'll give you 2 long ships with crews and also a very strong man, Ulf the Unwashed, the leader of our quote-unquote guests, but you must go and see the king before you leave. Hrut did so, and when he came before the king, he told him of Sodi's movements and said that he intended to pursue him. The king spoke, What help has my mother given you? 2 long ships and Ulf the Unwashed in charge of the men, said Hrut. You've been well treated, said the king. Now I want to give you another 2 ships. You'll surely need all this strength. Then he accompanied Hrut to his ship and said, May you fare well. Hrut sailed south with his men. Part 5. There was a man named Atli, the son of Earl Arnvind of Gotland. He was a great warrior and had his base in Lake Malaren, with a fleet of 8 ships. His father had withheld paying tribute to Hakon, foster son of King Æthelstan, and then fled with his son from Jamtland to Gotland. Atli sailed with his fleet from Lake Malaren through Stokksund and then south to Denmark, and there he lay, in Øresund. He had been outlawed by both the Danish and the Swedish kings on account of the plunderings and killings he had committed in their 2 realms. Hrut sailed south toward Øresund, and when he entered the sound, he saw a number of ships there. Ulf the Unwashed, said, What's to be done now, Icelander? Keep on course, said Hrut. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Ozer and I will lead our ship, and you bring yours where you please. Seldom have I used others as a shield for me, said Ulf. He positioned his ship alongside Hrut's, and then this way they advanced into the sound. Those who were in the sound saw that ships were coming at them, and they told Atli. He answered, Then we have a good opportunity to earn some booty. Have the men take away the coverings and get all the ships ready for action quickly. My ship will be in the center of our fleet. The ships advanced, and when they were within call of each other, Atli stood up and spoke. You're not very cautious. Didn't you notice there were warships here in the sound? What's the name of your leader? Hrut gave his name. Whose man are you? Said Atli. A follower of King Harald Greycloak, said Hrut. Atli said,
it's been a long time since my father and I were in favor with your Norwegian kings. That's your misfortune, said Hrut. Our meeting will be such, said Atli, that you won't live to tell about it, and he gripped his spear and threw it toward Hrut's ship. The man, in its way, was killed. The battle got underway, but boarding Hrut's ships proved difficult. Ulf fought boldly with sword and with spear. Aesop was the name of Atli's prowman. He leaped onto Hrut's ship and killed 4 men before Hrut was aware of him, but then Hrut turned to face him. When they came together, Aesop thrust a spear through Hrut's shield, but Hrut struck back with his sword, and that was a killing blow. Ulf the Unwashed saw this and said, "You strike a hard blow, Hrut. You owe a lot to Gunnhild." "I have the sense," said Hrut, "that you speak with a doomed mouth." Atli noticed an unprotected spot on Ulf and hurled his spear straight through him. Then came some fierce fighting. Atli leaped on board the ship and cleared his way forward. Ozer turned and thrust at him with his spear, but fell backward when another man thrust at him. Hrut then turned to meet Atli, who swung quickly at Hrut's shield and split it all the way down. Atli was then struck on his hand by a stone, and his sword fell. Hrut picked up the sword and cut off his leg, then struck him his death wound. Hrut and his men seized much booty and took the 2 best ships, and they stayed there for a short while. Sodi and his men sailed past them and back to Norway and came to land at Limgard. Sodi went ashore and met Ogmund, Gunnhild's servant. Ogmund recognized him at once and asked, "How long are you planning to stay here?" 3 nights, said Sodi. "Where will you go then?" said Ogmund. "West, to England," said Sodi, "and I'll never return to Norway as long as this is Gunnhild's realm." Ogmund left him and went to Gunnhild. She was at a feast a little way off with her son Gudrid. Ogmund told her of Sodi's plans, and she told Gudrid to kill him. Gudrid set off at once and caught Sodi by surprise and had him brought ashore and hanged. He took the money and brought it to his mother. She had men take it all to Konungahella, and then she went there herself. Hrut went in the autumn with a great amount of booty and went at once to the king and had a good welcome. He offered the king and his mother as much as they wanted to take, and the king took a third. Gunnhild told Hrut that she had taken his inheritance and had Sodi killed. He thanked her and gave her half of it. Part 6. Hrut stayed with the king in high favor that winter, but when spring came he was very silent. Gunnhild noticed this and spoke to him when they were alone. "Is something troubling you, Hrut?" she asked. "There's a saying," said Hrut, "that, quote, it's difficult to dwell in a distant land." "Do you want to go to Iceland?" she asked. "I do," he said. "Do you have a woman out there?" she said. "No," he said. "I'm sure that you do, though," she said. At this, they stopped talking. Hrut went to the king and greeted him. The king spoke. "What do you wish to do now, Hrut?" "I want to ask you, my lord," he said, "for permission to go to Iceland." "Will your prestige be greater there than here?" said the king. "Probably not," said Hrut, "but a man must do what is set out for him." "You're pulling against a powerful man," said Gunnhild. "Let him go as he sees fit." Supplies were low that year, but the king gave him as much flour as he wanted. Then Hrut, together with Ozer, prepared to sail to Iceland. When they were ready, Hrut went to the king and Gunnhild. She took him aside and spoke to him. "Here is a gold bracelet which I want to give you," and she put it around his arm. "Many a good gift I have had from you," said Hrut. She put her arms around his neck and kissed him and spoke. "If I have as much power over you as I think I have, then I cast this spell. You will not have sexual pleasure with the woman you plan to marry in Iceland, though you'll be able to have your will with other women. Neither of us comes out of this well, because you did not tell me the truth." Hrut grinned and went away. He then went before the king and thanked him. The king spoke kindly to him and wished him a good journey. He said that Hrut was a very brave man and well fit for the company of noble men. Hrut went at once to his ship and set sail, and with good winds he reached Borgarfjord. As soon as the ship was drawn up on land, Hrut rode west to his home, and Ozer saw to the unloading. Hrut rode to Hoskuldstadir. Hoskuld welcomed him, and Hrut told him all about his travels. Then they sent a man east to Morgigia to tell him to prepare the feasts, and then the brothers rode to the ships, and Hoskuld told Hrut about his property, which had gained greatly in value while he was away. Hrut said, "Your reward is less than you deserve, but I will give you as much flour as you need for your household this winter." They drew the ship up on land and secured it, and transported all the cargo west to Dalir. Hrut stayed at home at Hrutsadir until 6 weeks before winter. Then the brothers and Ozer made ready to ride east for the wedding, and they rode off with 60 men until they came to Rangarvellir. Many guests from the neighborhood had already arrived. The men took their places on the side benches, and the women occupied the cross bench at the end. The bride had a sad look about her. The feasting and drinking went well. Mord paid out the dowry for his daughter, and she rode off west with Hrut's party. They rode until they reached home. Hrut placed in her hands full authority over matters inside the house, and everyone was pleased at that. But there was little intimacy between her and Hrut, and so it went all through the winter. When spring came, Hrut had to travel west to the Westfjords to get payment for his wares, and before he left, his wife said to him, "Will you be coming back before men ride to the thing?" "Why do you need to know that?" said Hrut. "I want to ride to the thing and see my father," she said. "So be it," he said, "and I'll ride to the thing with you." "Good," she said. Then he rode away to the Westfjord and put the money he collected out to loan and rode back home. When he arrived from the west, he prepared for the Althing and got all his neighbors to ride with him. His brother Haskold rode along too. Hrut said to his wife, "If you're as eager to go to the thing as you said you were, get ready and ride along with me." She was soon ready, and they rode to the thing. Un went to her father's booth. He was happy to see her, but her spirits were rather heavy. When he noticed this, he said to her, "I've seen you look more happy. What's on your mind?" She began to cry, but gave no answer. Then he said to her, "Why have you come to the thing if you're not willing to take me into your confidence? Don't you find it good out there in the west?" She answered, "I would give everything I own never to have gone there." Mord said, "I'll soon get to the bottom of this." He sent a man to fetch Haskold and Hrut, and they came at once. When they came into Mord's presence, he rose and greeted them warmly and asked them to sit down. They spoke at length, and it went well. Then Mord said to Hrut, "Why does my daughter find it so bad out there in the west?" Hrut said, "Let her speak if she has any charges to bring against me." But no charges were brought. Hrut then had his neighbors and his household questioned as to how he treated her. They gave a good report and said that she had sole authority over as much as she wanted. Mord said, "Go home and be content with your lot, for all the evidence favors him rather than you." Then Hrut rode home from the thing together with his wife, and things went well between them that summer. But when winter came, the difficulty returned, and it became worse as spring drew on. Hrut had to make another trip to the Westfjords and declared that he would not be riding to the Althing. His wife Un had nothing to say about this. Hrut set off as soon as he was ready. Njal's Saga, Part 7. The time for the thing came near. Un spoke with Sigmund Ozurarson and asked if he would ride to the thing with her. He said he would not, if it displeased his kinsman Hrut. "I appealed to you because I thought that you, of all people, owed me a favor," she said. He answered, "I'll make this condition, that you ride back again with me and have no hidden plot against Hrut or me." She promised this, and they rode to the thing. Mord, her father, was there. He welcomed her and asked her to stay in his booth during the thing, and she did so. Mord spoke, "What have you to tell me about your partner Hrut?" She answered, "I can say only good things about him in the matters over which he has control." Mord took this silently. "What's bothering you, daughter?" he said. "I can see that you don't want anybody to know about this but me, and you can count on me as the best one to solve the problem." They went off to where no one could hear what they said. Then Mord spoke to his daughter. "Now, tell me everything that's going on between you, however big it may seem in your eyes." "All right, then," she said. "I want a divorce, Hrut, and I can tell you what my main charge against him is. He is not able to have sexual intercourse in a way that gives me pleasure, though otherwise his nature is that of the manliest of men." "How can that be?" said Mord. "Give me more details." She answered, "When he comes close to me, his penis is so large that he can't have any satisfaction from me, and yet we've both tried every possible way to enjoy each other, but nothing works. By the time we part, however, he shows that he's just like other men." Mord spoke, "You've done well to tell me this. Now I have a plan which will serve you well, as long as you follow it carefully and don't deviate from it. First, you must ride home from the thing. Your husband will have returned and will welcome you. Be pleasant and compliant, and he will think there's been a change for the better. Don't show any sign of coldness. When the spring comes, you must pretend to be sick and stay in bed." Hurt will not try to get at the cause of your sickness, and he will not find any fault with you. In fact, he will ask everybody to do their best in caring for you. Then he will go to the West Fjords, together with Sigmund, to bring back all his holdings from there, and he will be away for much of the summer. When people ride to the Thing, and when all those from Delir who plan to go have set off, get out of bed and summon men to travel with you. When you're ready, go to your bed with the men who are to travel with you, and at your husband's bedside name witnesses and declare yourself legally divorced from him, as is allowable according to the rules of the Althing and the law of the land. You must repeat the naming of the witnesses at the men's door. Then you must ride away, over Luxardal Heath as far as Hultavarda Heath, for you won't be pursued as far as Hrutafjord, and keep riding until you come to me. I'll take over the lawsuit then, and you will never come into his hands again. She rode home from the Thing. Hrut had already come home, and he welcomed her warmly. She responded well to his words and was pleasant toward him. Their relations were good during the summer and winter. When spring came, she took ill and lay in bed. Hrut went off to the West Fjords, but first asked that she be well taken care of. When it came time for the Thing, she made ready to leave and did everything exactly as she had been told, and then rode off. The men from the district looked for her, but did not find her. Mord welcomed his daughter and asked how closely she had followed his plan. I didn't deviate from it at all, she said. He then went to the Larrock and declared them legally divorced. People thought this was a big event. Un then went home with her father and never again went west to Hrutstadir. Part 8. Hrut came home, and his brows shot up when he learned that his wife was gone. But he kept his temper and stayed at home all summer and winter and spoke to no one about it. The following summer he rode to the Althing with his brother Hoskuld and many others. When he came to the Thing, he asked whether Mord Gigya was present. He was told that he was, and everyone expected that the two of them would discuss their case, but this did not happen. One day, when men went to the Larrock, Mord named witnesses and gave a notice of a claim against Hrut for his daughter's property, and he set the figure at 90 hundreds. He declared that this amount was to be paid and handed over, and he declared a fine of 3 marks. He gave notice of this in the quarter court to which the suit legally belonged, and also gave legal notice in the hearing of all at the Larrock. When he had spoken this, Hrut answered, "You are prosecuting your daughter's case more out of greed and aggressiveness than goodwill or decency, and since you do not yet have my money in your hands, my response is this. I hereby declare, and let all these listening here at the Larrock be my witnesses, that I challenge you to a duel. The stakes shall be the amount of the marriage agreement, to which I will add an equal sum, and let the one who wins take it all. If you choose not to fight me, you lose all property claims." Mord was silent, and sought advice from his friends about the duel. Jorund the Goti answered him, "You have no need to talk over this matter with us, because you know that if you fight Hrut, you will lose both your life and the money. He is well endowed, great by his own deeds, and a very brave man." Mord then announced that he would not fight with Hrut. Great hooting and hissing went up at the Larrock, and Mord was much disgraced. After this, the men rode home from the Thing. The brothers Hoskuld and Hrut rode west to Reykjadal and stayed overnight at Lund. Thjostolf, the son of Bjorn Goldbearer, lived there. Rain had fallen heavily during the day, and the men were wet, and long fires had been lit. Thjostolf sat between Hoskuld and Hrut, and two boys were playing on the floor, poor boys under Thjostolf's care. A girl was playing with them. The boys were very chatty, since they didn't know any better. One of them said, "I'll be Mord and summon you to give up your wife for not screwing her." The other answered, "I'll be Hrut and I'll say that you must forfeit all property claims if you don't dare to fight with me." They repeated this a few times, and much laughter arose among the household. Hoskuld became angry and struck the boy who called himself Mord with a stick, and the stick hit him in the face and cut through the skin. Hoskuld said to the boy, "Out you go and don't make fun of us." Hrut said, "Come over here." The boy did. Hrut took a gold ring from his finger and gave it to him and said, "Go away and don't ever give offense again." The boy went away and said, "I shall always remember your decency." Hrut was well spoken of for this. Afterwards, the brothers went home, and here ends the episode of Hrut and Mord.
Njal's Saga, Part 9. Now the story turns to Hallgerd, Hoskuld's daughter. She grew up to be a most beautiful woman, very tall, and therefore called Longlegs. She had lovely hair, so long that she could wrap herself in it. She was lavish and harsh-tempered.
Thjostolf was her foster father, a Hebridean by ancestry. He was strong and a good fighter, and had killed many men and paid no compensation for them. It was said that he did nothing to improve Hallgerd's character. There was a man by the name of Thorvald, the son of Osvif. He lived out in Medelfellstrand, at Fell. He was well off for property. He owned some islands in Breidafjord known as the Bjarniyar. From them he got dried fish and flour. Thorvald was strong and well-mannered, but somewhat short-tempered. One day, he and his father were talking about where he might find a wife, and it was clear that Thorvald thought none of the choices was good enough for him. Then Osvif said, "Do you want to ask for the hand of Hallgerd Longlegs, Haskold's daughter?" "She's the one I want," he said. "Things are not likely to be easy between you," said Osvif. "She's a strong-minded woman, and you're hard and unyielding." "I still want to give it a try," he said, "and there's no use trying to stop me." "The risk is all yours," said Osvif. They set off on a wooing trip to Haskoldstadir and were well received there. They told Haskold immediately the purpose of their visit and made the proposal of marriage. Haskold answered, "I know your standing, and I won't mislead you. My daughter is hard to get along with, but as for her looks and manners, you can see for yourselves. Thorvald answered, "Set the terms, for I will not let her temperament prevent our making a marriage agreement." Then they discussed the agreement. Haskold did not consult his daughter because he had his mind set on marrying her off, and they came to full agreement on the terms. Haskold extended his hand, and Thorvald took it and betrothed himself to Hallgerd and rode home with the matter settled. Part 10. Haskold told Hallgerd about the marriage agreement. She spoke. "Now I have experienced what I long suspected, that you do not love me as much as you have always said, since you didn't think it was worth consulting me on this matter. Besides, this marriage is beneath what you promised me." It was perfectly plain that she considered herself ill-matched. Haskold spoke. "I don't rate your pride high enough to let it stand in the way of my plans, and it's my word that counts when we disagree, not yours." "You kinsmen have plenty of pride," she said, "and it's not surprising if I've inherited some of it." And she walked away. She went to her foster father, Thjostolf, and told him what had been arranged. She was upset. Thjostolf said, "Pick up your spirits. You will be married a second time, and then you will be consulted, for I'll carry out your every wish, unless it touches your father or Hurt." They said no more about this. Haskold prepared for the feast, and rode around to invite people, and came to Hrutstadir, and called Hurt out for a talk. He came out, and they went to where they could talk, and Haskell told him all about the terms of the marriage and invited him to the feast. "And I hope you don't take it amiss that I didn't send you word when the agreement was being decided." "I prefer having nothing at all to do with this," said Hrut, "because there will be no luck for either partner in this marriage, neither for him nor for her. But I'll come to the feast if you think that will bring honor." "I think it will, for certain," said Haskell, and then rode home. Osvif and Thorvald also invited guests, and no fewer than 100 were invited. There was a man named Svan who lived in Bjarnarfjord on a farm called Svanshol, to the north of Steingrimsfjord. Svan was skilled in magic. He was the brother of Hallgerd's mother, and he was overbearing and vicious to deal with. Hallgerd invited him to her wedding feast and sent Thjostolf to bring him. He went, and there was friendship between them at once. The guests came to the feast, and Hallgerd sat on the crossbench, a very cheerful bride. Thjostolf often went over to talk to her, and he also spoke with Svan now and then, and people wondered at all this talking. The feast went well, and Haskold paid over Hallgerd's dowry graciously. Then he said to Hrut, "Shall I also give some presents?" Hrut answered, "You'll have chance enough to throw away your money for Hallgerd's sake, so hold back for now." Part 11. Thorvald rode home from the feast, along with his wife and Thjostolf. Thjostolf rode close to Hallgerd's horse, and they spoke constantly. Osvif turned to his son and said, "Are you pleased with the match? What was it like talking to her?" "Fine," he said. "She shows me nothing but sweetness. You can tell by the way she laughs at everything I say." "Her laughter doesn't seem as good to me as it does to you," said Osvif, "and the proof of this will come later." They rode on until they reached home. That evening, she sat next to her husband and placed Thjostolf on her other side. Thjostolf and Thorvald had little to do with each other and little to say, and it went that way all winter. Hallgerd was bountiful and high-spirited and demanded to have whatever the neighbors had and squandered everything. When spring came, there was a shortage of both flour and dried fish. Hallgrid went to Thorvald and said, "You can't afford to sit around. The household is in need of flour and dried fish." Thorvald said, "I didn't lay in any less than before, and it always used to last well into the summer." Hallgrid said, "It's none of my business if you and your father starved yourselves to get rich." Thorvald got angry and struck her in the face so hard that she bled, and then went off and called together his servants, and they launched a skiff, and 8 of them jumped aboard and rowed out to the Bjarniar. There they took on dried fish and flour. To return to Hallgrid, she was sitting outside and was upset. Thjostolf came to her and saw that she was cut on the face and said, "Why have you been so badly treated?" "My husband Thorvald did this," she said, "and if you cared for me, you would not have been so far away." "I knew nothing about this," he said, "but still, I'll avenge it." He went down to the shore and launched a 6-oared boat and held in his hand a large axe which he owned, with an iron-wrapped handle. He got on board and rowed out to Bjarniar. When he got there, everybody had rowed away except Thorvald and his companion. He was loading the skiff, and his men were carrying the provisions to him. Thjostolf came over, jumped up on the skiff, and helped him with the loading, and spoke, "You're both a sluggish worker and a clumsy worker." Thorvald spoke, "Do you think you can do better?" "I can do better than you in whatever we try," said Thjostolf. "The wife you have is badly matched, and your dealings with her deserve to be brief." Thorvald grabbed a short sword which lay near him and made a lunge at Thjostolf. Thjostolf had already raised his axe shoulder high and struck a return blow. It hit Thorvald on the arm and broke it, and his sword fell to the ground. Thjostolf then raised his axe a second time and brought it down on Thorvald's head, and he met his death at once. Part 12. Thorvald's men were now coming down with their loads. Thjostolf acted quickly. With both hands on his axe, he hacked at the side of the skiff and made an opening as wide as the space between 3 seats, and then he jumped into his boat. The coal-black sea poured into the skiff, and it sank with all its cargo. Thorvald's body sank too, and his men could not see how he had been killed, but they knew one thing, that he was dead. Thjostolf rowed away up the fjord, and they cursed him and wished him ill. He made no answer and rowed until he reached home and beached the boat and went up to the house with his axe on his shoulders. It was quite bloody. Hallgrid was outside and spoke, "Your axe is bloody. What have you done?" "I've done something," he said, "which will permit you to marry a second time." "You're telling me," she said, "that Thorvald is dead." "That's right," he said. "Now you must come up with a plan for me." "I will," she said. "I'll send you north to Svanshol on Bjarnafjord, and Svan will welcome you with wide open arms. He is so daunting that no one will go after you there." He saddled his horse and mounted it and rode north to Svanshol on Bjarnafjord. Svan welcomed him with open arms and asked for news, and Thjostolf told him about the slaying of Thorvald and how it had come about. Svan said, "That's what I call a man, someone who doesn't let little things seem large, and I promise you that if they follow you here, they will be greatly humiliated." To return to Hallgrid, she asked Liot the Black, her kinsman, to saddle their horses for a trip together, "for I want to ride home to my father." He made ready for their journey. She went to her chest, unlocked them, and called together all her household and gave everybody gifts. They were all sorry at her leaving. She rode until she came to Hoskuldstadir, and her father welcomed her, for he had not heard the news. Hoskuld said to Hallgrid, "Why hasn't Thorvald come with you?" "He's dead," she answered. Hoskuld said, "Thjostolf must have done it." She said that he had. Hoskuld spoke, "Whatever Hrut tells me can be trusted. He said that great misfortune would come from this marriage, but there's no use blaming oneself for what has already happened." To return to Thorvald's companions, they waited until a boat came out and then announced the slaying of Thorvald and asked for a boat to reach the mainland. They were lent one quickly and rowed to Reykjanes, found Ósvif, and told him the news. He said, "Evil designs have evil results, and now I see how it is gone. Hallgrid has probably sent Thjostolf to Bjarnafjord, and she herself has gone home to her father. Let's gather men and follow him north." They did this. They went around in search of support and put together a good number of men and rode to Steingrimsfjord and Djotardal, and from there to Salardr and on to Basastadir, and from there across the ridge to Bjarnafjord. Just then, Svan had a yawning attack and declared, "Ósvif's personal spirits are coming this way." Thjostolf leaped up and took his axe. Svan said, "Come outside with me. This won't take much doing." They both went outside. Svan took a goatskin and waved it over his head and spoke. Let there be fog, and let there be monsters, and fantastic sights to all who follow you. To return to Osvif and his men, they rode up the ridge, and great fog came towards them. Osvif said, This must be Svan's doing. We'll be well off if nothing worse follows. Soon there was such a thick blackness in front of their eyes that they could see nothing, and fell off their horses and lost them, and walked into the bog, some into the woods, so that they came close to harm. They also lost their weapons. Then Osvif spoke, If I could find my horses and my weapons, I would turn back. As soon as he had said this, they were able to see a little and found their horses and weapons. Many of the men urged that they give the pursuit another try, and so they did, but the same sights came to them as before. This happened 3 times. Then Osvif spoke, Though our trip has brought us no honor, we must turn back. We'll try another plan, and what I have in mind now is to go to Hoskold and ask for compensation for my son, for there's hope for honor where honor abounds. They rode from there to the valley of Breidafjord, and there is nothing to tell of until they arrived at Hoskoldstadir. Hrut had already come there from Hrutstadir. Osvif called to Hoskold and Hrut to come out. They both went out and greeted Osvif, and then they went off to talk. Hoskold asked Osvif where they had come from. He said he had gone in search of Thjostolf, but had not found him. Hoskold said he had probably gone north to Svanshol, but it's not for everybody to catch him there. That's why I've come here, to ask you for compensation for my son, said Osvif. Hoskold answered, I didn't kill your son, and I didn't plan his death, but it's understandable that you should try somewhere. Hrut spoke, The nose is near to the eyes, brother. We must forestall evil rumors and compensate him for his son, and in this way restore your daughter's standing. Our only choice is to have this case dropped, for it will be better if it's not much talked about. Hoskold said, Will you arbitrate the case? I will, said Hrut, but I will not favor you in the settlement, for if the truth must be told, your daughter caused his death. Hoskold turned blood red and said nothing for a while. Then he stood up and said to Osvif, Take my hand and give your consent to drop the case. Osvif stood up and spoke, It's not a fair settlement if your brother arbitrates, and yet you've been so helpful, Hrut, that I am quite willing to entrust the matter to you. He shook Hoskold's hand, and they made an agreement to the effect that Hrut should arbitrate and reach a settlement before Osvif went away. Hrut made his decision and spoke, For the slaying of Thorvald, I award 200 ounces of silver. This was considered good compensation. And you are to pay this at once, brother, and do it readily. Hoskold did. Then Hrut said to Osvif, I want to give you a good cloak, which I brought from abroad. Osvif thanked him for the gift and was well pleased with the way things had turned out and went home. Hrut and Hoskold went to Osvif to divide the property, and they made peace with him and went home with their share. Osvif is now out of the saga. Hallgerd and asked Hoskold whether Thjostolf could move to Hoskoldstadir. He agreed to this, and the slaying of Thorvald was long talked about. Hallgerd's property grew in value and became quite large. Njal's Saga, Part 13. 3 brothers are now brought into the saga. One was called Thorarin, the second Ragi, and the third Glum. They were the sons of Olif Hjalti, and were men of high esteem and well off for property. Thorarin had the nickname Ragi's brother. He held the office of law speaker after Hrafn Hangsson and was a very wise man. He lived at Varmalake, and he and Glum owned the farm together. Glum had been making trips abroad for a long time. He was big and strong and handsome. Ragi, their brother, was a great fighting man. These brothers owned Engi and Lagarnis in the south. One day, Glum and Thorarin were talking, and Thorarin asked Glum whether he was going abroad, as was his custom. He answered, I've been thinking rather of giving up these trading voyages. What do you have in mind, said Thorarin. Do you want to take a wife? I'd like to, he said, if I could make a good arrangement. Thorarin then listed the women in Borgarfjord who were unmarried, and asked if he wanted to marry any of these, and I'll ride along with you. He answered, I don't want to marry any of these. Then name the one you want to marry, said Thorarin. Glum answered, If you want to know, her name is Hallgerd, and she's the daughter of Hoskold over out west in Dalir. Then you're not letting another man's woe be your warning, as the saying goes, said Thorarin. She had a husband, and she had him killed. Glum spoke, Perhaps she won't have such bad luck a second time. I know for certain that she will not have me killed. If you want to do me honor, then ride with me to ask for her hand. Thorarin said, "There's no stopping this. What is fated will have to be." Glum often raised the matter with Thorarin, and for a long time Thorarin avoided it, but finally they gathered men and rode off, 20 in all, westward to Dalir, and they came to Hoskuldstadir, and Hoskuld welcomed them, and they stayed overnight. Early the next morning, Hoskuld sent for Hrut, and he came at once. Hoskuld was outside when he rode up to the house. Hoskuld told Hrut who had come. "What do they want?" asked Hrut. "They haven't yet talked of any business," said Hoskuld. "But their business must be with you," said Hrut. "They will ask for the hand of your daughter Hallgerd, so how will you answer?" "What would seem best to you?" asked Hoskuld. "Answer them favorably, but tell them the good and the bad sides of the woman," said Hrut. While the brothers were talking, the guests came outside. Hoskuld and Hrut went toward them, and Hrut greeted Thorarin and his brother warmly. Then they all went off to talk, and Thorarin spoke. "I have come here with my brother Glum for the purpose of asking, on his behalf, for the hand of your daughter Hallgerd. You must know that he is a worthy man. I know that you are both men of great standing, but I must answer by saying that I arranged her first marriage, and it ended in great misfortune for us," said Hoskuld. Thorarin answered, "We will not let that prevent our making an agreement, for one oath does not invalidate all oaths. This marriage may turn out well, though the other ended badly, and in any case, Thjostolf had the most to do with ruining it." Then Hrut spoke. "I'll give you some advice, if you are not going to let what happened before with Hallgerd stand in your way. Thjostolf must not move south with her if this marriage takes place, and he must not visit for more than 3 nights, unless Glum consents, and if he stays longer, Glum may slay him as an outlaw. Glum is free to permit a longer stay, but I don't advise it. Also, this must not be done without Hallgerd's knowledge, as it was before. She is to learn all the terms of the agreement now, and meet Glum, and decide for herself whether or not she wishes to marry him, and then she will not be able to blame others if things do not turn out well. Everything must be free of deceit." Thorarin said, "Now, as always, it's best that your advice be followed." Then Hallgerd was sent for, and she came there with 2 other women. She was wearing a woven black cloak, and beneath it a scarlet tunic with a silver belt around her waist. Her hair was hanging down on both sides of her breasts, and she had tucked it under her belt. She sat down between Hrut and her father. She greeted everyone with kind words, and spoke well and boldly, and asked for the news. Then she said no more. Glum spoke, "My brother Thorarin and I have had some words with your father about an agreement by which I would marry you, provided it is your wish as well as theirs. Now tell us, as a woman with a mind of your own, whether this match is to your liking. If you have no heart for an agreement with us, we will say no more about it." Hallgerd spoke, "I know that you brothers are men of great standing, and I know that I will now be much better married than before, but I want to know what you have already discussed, and how far you have come in deciding things. I like you well enough that I could come to love you, as long as our tempers match." Glum told her the terms himself in full detail, and then asked Hoskuld and Hrut if he had put it correctly. Hoskuld said that he had. Then Hallgerd spoke, "You've treated me so well in this matter, father, and you, Hrut, that I'm willing to agree to your plan and let the marriage terms be as you have determined." Then Hrut spoke, "I propose that Hoskuld and I name witnesses, and that Hallgerd betroth herself, if this seems correct to the law expert here." "It is correct," said Thorarin. Hallgerd's property was then valued, and Glum was to add the same amount. They were to share equally in the property. After this, Glum betrothed himself to Hallgerd, and the brothers rode south to their home. Hoskuld was to hold the wedding feast at his place. Then things were quiet until it was time for men to ride to the feast. Part 14. Glum and his brothers gathered a large band of people, and they rode west to Dalir and arrived at Hoskuldstadir. Many guests had already arrived. Hoskuld and Hrut were seated on one bench, and the bridegroom on another. Hallgerd sat on the crossbench and made a good impression. Thjostolf walked around with his axe at the ready and behaved loutishly, but no one took any notice of him. When the feast was over, Hallgerd went south with the brothers. When they got to Varmalek, Thorarin asked Hallgerd if she would like to take charge of running the household. "No, I don't want that," she said. Hallgerd controlled herself very well that winter, and the people were not displeased with her. In the spring, the brothers discussed their property, and Thorarin said, "I want to turn the farm at Varmalek over to you, since that is handiest for you, and I will go south to Laugarnis and live there. We'll hold Engi in common." Glum was willing to do this. Thorarin moved south, and Glum and Hallgerd remained behind. Hallgerd took on more servants. She was lavish and bountiful. In the summer, she gave birth to a girl. Glum asked her what her name should be. She shall be named after my father's mother, Thorgerd, because she was descended on her father's side from Sigurd Fafnisbani. The girl was sprinkled with water and given that name. She grew up there at Vermalik and came to be like her mother in appearance. Glum and Hallgerd got along well together, and things went this way for a while. News came up from up north in Bjarnafjord that Svan had rowed out to fish in the spring, and a great storm had come on them from the east. It drove them into Veidilausa Bay, and they were lost there. Fishermen who were at Kaldbak thought they saw Svan enter the mountain Kaldbakshorn and get a warm welcome there. Some denied this and said there was nothing to it. Everyone was certain, however, that he was never found, alive or dead. When Hallgerd heard of this, she thought the loss of her mother's brother a big event. Glum asked Thorarin to exchange farms, but he said he didn't want to. "But if I outlive you, then I will take over Vermalik." Glum told this to Hallgerd. "Thorarin has a right to expect this from us," she said. Thjostolf had beaten one of Hoskuld's servants, so Hoskuld sent him away. He took his horse and weapons and said to Hoskuld, "Now I will go away and never come back." "Everyone will be pleased at that," said Hoskuld. Thjostolf rode until he came to Vermalik. He received a warm welcome from Hallgerd and a not unfriendly one from Glum. He told Hallgerd that her father had sent him away, and he asked her to look after him. She replied that she could not promise anything about his staying there until she had seen Glum. "Are things going well between you?" asked Thjostolf. "Yes, our love goes well," she said. Then she went to talk to Glum and put her arms around his neck and said, "Will you grant me the favor I am about to ask of you?" "I will, as long as it's honorable," he said. "What do you wish to ask?" She said, "Thjostolf had been sent away from Hoskuld Sidir, and I'd like you to let him stay here, but I won't take it badly if you're not keen to do so." Glum said, "Since you're being so fair about it, I shall grant you your request, but I tell you this, if he starts any trouble, he must leave at once." She went to Thjostolf and told him. He answered, "You have done well, as was to be expected." He stayed on there and controlled himself for a time, but soon he was thought to be harmful in every way. He showed no respect for anyone but Hallgerd, and yet she never spoke up for him when he clashed with others. Thorarin scolded his brother Glum for allowing him to stay there and said that something terrible would happen, and that things would go as they had before if Thjostolf remained. Glum answered politely, but followed his own counsel.
Njal's Saga, Part 16. One autumn, they had a bad time bringing in the sheep, and Glum was short many wethers. He spoke to Thjostolf, "Go up to the mountains with my servants and see if you can find any of the sheep." "Searching for sheep does not suit me," said Thjostolf, "and besides, the simple fact is that I don't want to follow in the footsteps of your slaves. You go yourself, and then I'll come along." This led to a strong exchange of words. Hallgerd was seated outside. The weather was fine. Glum went to her and spoke. "Thjostolf and I have had a bad clash, and we will not live together much longer." He told her what had passed between them. Hallgerd spoke up for Thjostolf, and they had a strong exchange of words. Glum struck her with his hand and said, "I'm not quarreling with you any longer," and then he went away. She loved him greatly, and was not able to calm herself, and wept loudly. Thjostolf came to her and said, "You've been badly treated, but this won't happen again." "You are not to take vengeance for this," she said, "or take any part in our affairs, no matter what happens." He went away, grinning. Part 17. Glum called his men to go out with him, and Thjostolf also got ready and went along. They went up south Reykjadal, and then up along Baugagil as far as Þverfell, and there they split up. Some went to the Skoradal area, and others he sent south to the Siller Hills, and they all found many sheep. Then it came about that the two of them, Glum and Thjostolf, were alone. They went south from Þverfell and found some nervous sheep and pursued them as far as the mountain, but the sheep got away up the mountain. Each blamed the other for this, and Thjostolf told Glum that he had no strength for anything except bouncing around on Hallgrid's belly. Glum said, "The only bad company comes from home. Now I have to put up with insults from you, a fettered slave." Thjostolf said, "You'll soon be saying whether I'm a slave or not, for I'm not about to yield to you." Glum was enraged and struck him with his short sword, but Thjostolf put his axe in the way, and the blow hit the axe blade and cut into it 2 fingers deep. Thjostolf quickly struck a return blow with the axe and hit Glum's shoulder and split the shoulder bone and the collarbone, and the wound bled internally. Glum seized Thjostolf with his other hand with such force that he fell, but Glum was not able to keep his hold because death was upon him. Thjostolf covered his body with stones and took a gold bracelet from him. He walked back to Varmalek. Hallgerd was outside and saw that his axe was bloody. He threw the gold bracelet to her. She spoke, "What news do you bring? Why is your axe bloody?" He answered, "I don't know how you'll take this, but I must tell you of the slaying of Glum." "You must have done it," she said. "That's true," he said. She laughed and said, "You didn't sit this game out." "What advice do you have for me now?" he said. "Go to my father's brother, Hrutch," he said, "and let him take care of you." "I don't know whether this is sound advice," said Thjostolf, "but I'll follow it anyway." He took his horse and rode away and did not stop until he came to Hrutsadir that night. He tied up his horse behind the buildings, went around to the door, and knocked with a loud blow. Then he went around to the north side. Hrut had been awake. He sprang to his feet and got into a tunic and pulled on his boots and took his sword. He wrapped a cloak around his left hand and arm. People woke up as he was going out. He went around to the north side of the house and saw a big man and recognized him as Thjostolf. Hrut asked what news he had. "I must tell you of the slaying of Glum," said Thjostolf. "Who did it?" said Hrut. "I killed him," said Thjostolf. "Why did you ride here?" said Hrut. "Hallgerd sent me to you," said Thjostolf. "Then she was not the cause of it," said Hrut, and drew his sword. Thjostolf saw this and did not want to be the second to strike, and quickly swung his axe at Hrut. Hrut slipped away from the blow and hit the side of the axe blade so sharply with his left hand that the axe flew out of Thjostolf's hand. With his right hand, Hrut hacked at Thjostolf's leg just above the knee and almost cut through it, and he rushed at him and knocked him down. Hrut then struck at Thjostolf's head and dealt him his death wound. Hrut's servants came out and saw the signs of the slaughter. Hrut had Thjostolf's body carried away and covered. Then he went to Hoskuld and told him of the slaying of Glum and then of Thjostolf. Hoskuld thought the death of Glum a loss, but thanked Hrut for slaying Thjostolf. A little while later, Thorarin Regi's brother learned of the slaying of his brother Glum. He rode with 11 men west to Dalir and came to Hoskuldstadir. Hoskuld received him with open arms, and he stayed there overnight. Hoskuld sent at once for Hrut to come there, and he came immediately. The following day, they talked at length about the death of Glum. Thorarin said, "Are you willing to pay me compensation for my brother, for I have had a great loss?" Hoskuld answered, "I didn't kill your brother, and my daughter didn't plan his death, and when Hrut found out about it, he killed Thjostolf." Thorarin became silent and felt that the situation would be hard to solve. Hrut spoke, "Let's make his trip honorable. He has surely had a great loss, and it will be well spoken of if we give him gifts and he becomes our friend for life." The outcome was that the brothers gave him gifts. Thorarin then rode back south. He and Hallgerd exchanged farms in the spring. She went south to Lagarnis, and he went to Varmalek. Thorarin is now out of the saga. Part 18. To tell now about Mord Gigya. He took ill and died, and that was thought a great loss. His daughter Un inherited all his property. She had not been married a second time. She was very lavish and improvident with her property, and her wealth wasted away until she had nothing but land and personal items. Njal's Saga, Part 19. There was a man named Gunnar. He was related to Un. His mother was named Ranvig, and she was the daughter of Sigfus, the son of Sigvat the Red. He was slain at the ferry at Santalar. Gunnar's father was named Hammond. He was the son of Gunnar Baugsson, from whom Gunnar's halt gets its name. Hammond's mother was named Hrafnhild. She was the daughter of Storolf Hangesson. Storolf was the brother of Hrafn the Lawspeaker, and his son was Orm the Strong. Gunnar Hammondarson lived at Hlidarendi in Flotslid. He was big and strong, and an excellent fighter. He could swing a sword and throw a spear with either hand if he wished, and he was so swift with a sword that there seemed to be three in the air at once. He shot with a bow better than anyone else, and he always hit what he aimed at. He could jump higher than his own height, in full fighting gear, and just as far backward and forward. He swam like a seal, and there was no sport in which there was any point in competing with him, and it was said that no man was his match. He was handsome and fair of skin, and had a straight nose, turned up at its tip. He was blue-eyed and keen-eyed and ruddy-cheeked, with thick hair, blonde and well-combed. He was very well-mannered, firm in all ways, generous and even-tempered, a true friend, but a discriminating friend. He was very well off for property. His brother was named Kolskegg. He was big and strong, a fine man, and reliable in all ways. A second brother was named Hjort. He was then in his childhood. Orm Skagarnef was a bastard brother of Gunnar's, but he does not come into the saga. Arngun was the name of Gunnar's sister. She was married to Hroar the Goody of Tunga, who was the son of Uni the Unborn, the son of Gardar, who discovered Iceland. Arngun's son was Hammond the Lame, who lived at Hammundarsidir. Part 20. There was a man named Njal. He was the son of Thorgeir Gullnir, the son of Thorolf. Njal's mother was Asgard, the daughter of the Norwegian hairseal Askel the Silent. She had come out to Iceland and settled to the east of the Markarfljot River between Oldestein and Seljalandsmuli. Her son was Holtathurir, the father of Thorleif Crow, from whom the people of Skogar are descended, of Thorgrim the Tall and of Thorgrim Skoragir. Njal lived at Berg Thorsfjol in the Landeyjar. He had a second farm at Thorolfsfell. He was well off for property and handsome to look at, but there was one thing about him. No beard grew on him. He was so well versed in the law that he had no equal, and he was wise and prophetic, sound of advice and well intentioned, and whatever course he counseled turned out well. He was modest and noble-spirited, able to see far into the future and remember far into the past, and he solved the problems of whoever turned to him. Bergthora was his wife's name. She was the daughter of Skarpedin, a woman with a mind of her own and a fine person, but a bit harsh-tempered. They had 6 children, 3 daughters and 3 sons, and the sons all play a part in this saga. Part 21. To tell now about Un, who had lost all her money. She traveled from her farm to Hlidarendi, and Gunnar welcomed his kinswoman, and she stayed overnight. The next day, they sat outside and talked, and she came around to telling him how pressed she was for money. "That's bad," he said. "What solution will you offer me?" she said. He answered, "Take as much as you need of the money I have out on loan." "I don't want to waste your property," she said. "Then what do you want?" he said. "I want you to reclaim my property from Hrut," she said. "That doesn't seem likely," he said, "since your father wasn't able to reclaim the money, and he was a great lawyer. I know little about law." "It was through force rather than by law that Hrut pushed that through," she said. "My father was old, and that was why men thought it best for them not to fight. Besides, there's no one in my family to take up this matter if you don't have the backbone to do so." "I'm daring enough to try to get the money," he said, "but I don't know how to take up the case." She answered, "Go to Njal at Bergthorsfjol. He'll be able to come up with a plan, and besides, he's a great friend of yours." "I expect he'll advise me as soundly as he does others," he said. Their talk ended with Gunnar taking up the case and giving her as much money as she needed for her household, and then she went home. Gunnar rode to visit Njal, and he welcomed him, and they went off to talk. Gunnar said, "I've come to ask you for good advice." Njal answered, "I have many friends for whom it is fitting that I give good counsel, and yet I will take the greatest pains with you." Gunnar said, "I want to tell you that I have taken on the reclaiming of Un's property from Hrut." "That's a difficult matter," said Njal, "and a big risk, however it goes. But I'll propose what seems to me the most promising plan, and it will work if you do not deviate from it. Your life will be in danger if you do." "I won't deviate from it at all," said Gunnar. Njal was silent for a while and then said, "I've thought the matter over, and this is what will work." Part 22. Ride from home with 2 men. Wear a hooded cloak on the outside and striped homespun underneath, and beneath this wear your good clothes and carry a short axe. Each of you should have 2 horses, 1 fat and the other lean. Take along some homemade articles from here. Start riding early tomorrow, and when you have crossed west over the Hvita River, pull your hood way down. People will ask who the tall man is, and your companions should say that it is Peddler Hedin, the mighty from Eyjafjord, traveling with his wares, and that he is a bad-tempered and a loud-mouthed man, a know-it-all, and that he often reneges on his deals and assaults people when things don't go the way he wants. Ride west to Borgarfjord and offer your wares everywhere, but often renege on the deals. The word will get around that Peddler Hedin is a terrible man to deal with, and that whatever is said of him is no lie. Ride north to Norðurárdal, and then to Hrutafjord, and to Luxardal, until you come to Haskoldsdir. Stay there for the night, but sit near the door and keep your head down. Haskold will declare that no one should have dealings with Peddler Hedin, that he is offensive. Leave in the morning and go to the farm closest to Hrutsidir. Offer your wares, especially the worst ones, and conceal their flaws. The farmer will examine them and find the flaws. Snatch them away from him and say something foul. He will say that it was only to be expected that you would give him a hard time. Quote, you give everybody a hard time. Assault him, though you are not used to doing so, but don't use all your strength, lest you be recognized and arouse suspicion. A man will be sent then to Hrutsidir to tell Hrut that it would be best to take you away. He will send for you at once, and you should go at once. You will be assigned to the lower bench, opposite Hrut's high seat. Greet him, and he will respond well. He will ask if you're from the north, and you should say that you're from Eyjafjord. He will ask whether there are many excellent men up there. They do a lot of nasty things, you must say. Are you familiar with Reykjadal, he will say. I am familiar with all of Iceland, you must say. Are there any mighty heroes in Reykjadal, he will say. There are thieves and rogues, you must say. Hrut will laugh and find this great sport. He and you will then talk about the men in the East Fjords, and you should say something scornful about each of them. Your talk will then turn to the men in the Rangarvellir district. Say that there is a shortage of good men there since the death of Morgikja. Hrut will ask why you think that no man could fill his place, and you should answer that he was such a wise man and so strong in pressing lawsuits that his authority was never in doubt. He will ask whether you're aware of what went on between Mord and himself. I've heard, you should say, that he took your wife away from you and you did nothing about it. Then Hrut will answer, don't you think it was a mistake on his part when he didn't get the money, even after he brought a suit for it? I can easily answer that, you should say. You challenged him to a duel, but he was an old man, and his friends advised him not to fight with you, and this is how you quashed the suit. I did challenge him, Hrut will say, and foolish men took this to be the law, but he could have brought the suit up at another thing, if he had the backbone. I know that, you should say. He will then ask you whether you know anything about the law. Up north they thought I did, you should say, but you will have to tell me how to bring up the suit. Hrut will ask what suit you are referring to. A suit, you should say, that's of no concern to me, how to go about reclaiming Un's property. A summons must be pronounced, either in my hearing or at my legal residence, Hrut will say. Recite the summons, you should say, and I'll repeat it after you. Hrut will then recite the summons. Pay careful attention to every bit of his wording. Then he will ask you to repeat the summons. Do so, but do it so badly that no more than every second word is correct. Hrut will laugh and have no suspicions, and he will say that not much was correct in your summons. Blame your companions and say that they distracted you. Then ask Hrut to recite it for you again and to let you recite it after him. He will grant this and recite the summons himself. Recite it after him and say it correctly, and then ask Hrut if the summoning was correct. He will say that no one could fault it. Then say softly, but so that your companions can hear, I hereby make this summons in the suit turned over to me by Un, the daughter of Mord. Later, when people are asleep, get up quietly and take your saddles out to the pasture, to the fat horses, and ride away. Leave the other horses behind. Ride up above the grazing fields and stay there for 3 nights. That's about how long they will look for you. Then ride south to your home. Ride only at night and lie quiet during the day. We ourselves will ride to the thing and carry on with the suit. Gunnar thanked him and rode straight home.